So we are talking today from the subject, the God who stays the same. The God who stays the same. How many in the room and online know that most things in life change, right? There's just things in life change. Seasons change. Can I get a, right? Emotions change, right? Finances sometimes change. And unfortunately, even people can change, right? But the biggest constant in our life is the fact that God never changes. And so today's lesson is really to emphasize the unchanging nature of God that gives us the stability that we need, that gives us the peace that we need, that gives us the joy and the assurance we need, and ultimately that gives us the faith that we need regardless of any situation that we go through. We know that we serve a God who stays the same. Amen. And so you've got to realize that your faith is not strong because you never change. Your faith is strong because God never changes. And that's the difference. He remains the same. He's constant, and he's the God that never changes. And that is why we see blessings in our lives. That's why we see miracles in our lives. That's why we see God at work in our lives. It's not because we're so good. It's because he's so great. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so I'm going to say it again because we should have got a little more excited about that. When we see amazing things happen in our lives, it's not because we're so good. It's that he's so great. Yeah, because we can never not give him the praise that's due him. You got it? And so all, you know, anytime amazing things happen and that kind of thing, you know, you always have to make sure you push the glory to God. Does that make sense? All right, so how many in the room know how many points Pastor has for you this morning?
Three.
You already know Pastor has three simple points to help push this lesson on the God who stays the same, to encourage you, to edify you, to help build you up, to know that you are going to make it and that you are going to win. So let's jump right in to our lesson on today. Everybody say point number one. Point number one, God's character is consistent. God's character is consistent, all right? He does not change, and his character always stays the same. Malachi, the third chapter, verse 6, the first part, the writer says, "For I am the Lord, and I do not change." So who he was, he still is. What he did, he still does. And if he's spoken in his word, you got it, logos or rhema, if you hold on to your faith, he's going to bring it to pass in your life. Like God is the God who stays the same. And so, and I'm so thankful that God stays the same. How many know that people can be moody? You got it. But how many know God is not moody? He doesn't wake up on the wrong side of the bed. He doesn't rethink his commitment to you. You got it? That he makes a commitment that he's already made a commitment from the foundation of this earth before you ever got here, that he's never going to leave you, that he's never going to forsake you, that he is going to be with you until the end. And what a promise for me to understand that no matter what I go through, that even if people walk away, God's never going to walk away. That even if people change their mind, that God has never changed their mind, because God just doesn't want to be your Sunday God. He wants to be your everyday God. He doesn't want to be with you just when things are going good, but he says, I am your God, and no matter if it's going good, if it's bad, if it's ugly, I want you to know that I won't back up. I won't change my mind. I won't walk away. I won't let you down. I won't break your heart, because I am the God who stays the same. I am your God, and I'm always going to be with you. So when the floods come, you won't drown. And when the fire comes, you won't burn. And no matter what happens in your life, I will always bring you to a place of completeness, because I am the God who stays the same. You got it? He's the God who stays the same. Now the key truth in all this is who God was in Scripture is who God is in your situation right now. And you've got to understand that you can never separate Scripture and stories we see in the Bible from the God who you serve right now. Everybody say, he's the same God. He's the same God. So when we begin to look at Abraham and Isaac, and Abraham is going to offer Isaac because that's what God told him to do, and they go up to the top and, you know, those kind of things, and we see that God has a ram in the bush, right, to be the sacrifice. And in that moment, he said, may you always remember that I am Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that the same God that was on the mountain with Abraham is the same God that's in your situation. The same God that opened the sea, the Red Sea up for the children of Israel to go on dry ground, he's the same God in your life. The same God that was with the Hebrew boys and the fiery furnace is the same God that is in your situation. And even though certain things may take you by surprise, you've got to know they don't take God by surprise. And God already knows what he's going to do in your life and in your situation, because the same God in Scripture is the same God in your situation right now. That's a good place to clap. He's the same God. He's the same. Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8. And Pastor, what is the reason for the emphasis on this? It's because the enemy will try to talk you out of what God is already doing in your life. That's what he'll do. He'll try to talk you out of what God has already done in your life. He'll try to talk you out of how what God has already completed on the inside of you, right? Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same. I'm going to need help with this. He is the same today and for. Yeah, so he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the God who does not change. Now, James, the first chapter in the 17th verse, we'll read it from the New Living Translation. Watch what it says. It says, whatever is good and perfect is a what class? Gift coming down to us from God our Father. So every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. That's what it teaches us, right? It says, who created all the lights in the heavens. Now watch what this next part says. It says, he never changes. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. And so you've got to understand that you serve a God that never changes. And when I begin to understand that I serve a God who never changes, you know, that I can walk in a level of peace, because I know that the same God that who has always taken care of me is going to always take care of me. The same God who has always provided is going to keep providing. The same God who has always healed me is going to continue to heal me, because he's the same God. Everybody say the same God. Now, why is this important that I show you this in this particular verse? And remember, we're pushing point number one, that God's character is consistent. Because if God's character doesn't change, neither does his goodness. So if God's character doesn't change in your life, then his goodness doesn't change in your life either. The writer says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you, not some, but all the. What does all mean? All the days of your life. Come here, Ben. Come here, Pastor Pat. So he says, surely goodness and mercy. All right. So we got goodness. We got mercy. Right? And the writer says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Even though brothers, hold on now. I'm trying to teach my lesson. You think that they give me a little bit of space and, you know, let me be all right. You know, yeah, you know. And so what happens is when I'm going through a situation, you got it, sometimes I cannot be cognitive that God's goodness and mercy is with me whether I realize it or not. And sometimes I'll get in a rush and I'll be trying to move fast and do my own thing and hurry up and get out the way. And sometimes I'm trying to run from God and I'm trying to run from church, but it doesn't matter, because God has made a commitment that surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. I just happen to have two $20 bills left for y'all. Give them a big hand. But did you get the point? You got it? That you... You know, the Bible is just not some fairy tale. Can I get a? You got, church is not something we just come to do because it's Sunday, right? But you have to understand that I come to church for my spiritual development. I come to learn God's plan for my life. That's why I need a man of God or a woman of God that's going to stand up and teach me the word of God line upon line and precept upon precept, and be honest with me and be real with me and tell me the truth, because ultimately I'm trying to live a good life on this earth and make heaven my home. Does that make sense? And so when even a few minutes ago when we were talking about I Do Sunday and I gave you the biblical definition for marriage, pastor's not hating on anybody. I love everybody. You understand? We have a lot of different members that'll come through that'll deal with those, you know, those that are living that type of lifestyle. And all of them will tell you, nobody's ever said anything. You know, they love us. You got it. They treat us like everybody else. But I still have to give you the unadulterated truth of God's word. But I don't stop there. I tell you, if you marry and you step outside your marriage, that's called adultery, and it's a sin. If you're not married and you're having sex, that's fornication, and that's a sin. You understand? So I'm not. So what is? Why do you do that? Because the Bible says that one day when I get to heaven, I've got to stand before God and give an account for everything I did up here. So for me, it's not hating. It's not trying to make somebody feel bad. It's not trying to point somebody. I don't care about any of that stuff. All I have to do is make sure that I give you the truth in love. And once you get it, it's up to you with what you do with it. Does that make sense? Hey, man, that's a good place to clap. Yeah. But I can't sugarcoat the word of God just to make you happy. Does that make sense? I've got to tell the truth of God's word in a loving way so you can make the decision. You got anytime the word is going forth, one thing always happens. You got it. Conviction takes place, all right? And conviction doesn't take place from pastor. Conviction takes place from the Holy Spirit, right? And a lot of us, including pastor, can get convicted from time to time about all kinds of things. Sometimes I'll be doing a lesson, right? And I might be going over some things, and I'll be like, ooh, that kind of convicted me. Lord, I need to make sure I have myself all the way together in that. So it doesn't just, it starts up here, and then it flows down. Come on, somebody. It ain't like I just do whatever I want to do. No, it don't. No, if anybody's right, I got to make sure I'm right. Come on, somebody. So I'm a clean vessel. That's why people laugh at me when I tell them, you know, I really don't go out and watch movies, especially if they're rated R. You ain't going to go to hell for watching a rated R movie, but I don't need that stuff in my mind and in my emotions, because I'm the man of God, and the vessel has to be clean under honor and not dishonor, is what the Bible says. Does that make sense? So a lot of times when y'all hear me, you say, well, pastor, why don't you do that? And I ain't putting nobody in hell, but I have to live my life in a certain way. Can I tell them about that show from the other day? I told you I ain't gonna watch that show. Yeah, and so we were they got an app called Paramount. Yeah, Paramount. And we got it because is it FBI? Yeah, you can watch FBI. And, you know, they used to have FBI International. They had the regular FBI. And then they had Most Wanted. Thank you. And they had the Most Wanted. And, boy, I love those. And this season, they took all of them away. They only have the regular FBI, right? No Most Wanted. And so that's fine. So I'm trying to look for other stuff. You got it? And, so a lady was leaving. And she's like, oh, you ought to watch that. And I said, okay. And I'm starting to watch it. And I everybody got their issues, right? I got issues. You got issues. All God's children got issues, right? If you don't have an issue, that's your issue. Yeah. But I do like action. You know, I like fighting, and I like seeing somebody go up somebody's head, but I know it's just action. It's just acting, right? It's not, I don't want to see it in real life. You got it? I'm not about, but I do, you know, I just like, come on down on them. You got it? When you come down, get them good, you know? Yeah. And so anyways, you know, so I'm watching this action movie, you got it? And this one scene comes up with this man and woman in bed, you got it? And I was like, okay, all right, no problem. You know, but next thing I thought it was just like regular TV. She takes a whole shirt off. I said, oh, Jesus. Got it? So I got through that, right? And then I kept watching. But it was like 6 minutes later. Now, I call them sex scenes. Can I just talk to y'all for a minute? I don't know what they were, but to me, that's a sex scene, right? When I start seeing stuff, that's a problem. You understand? If you under the covers, then you let your imagination go where you wanted to go. But, you know, and so I was like, oh, my Jesus. So, you know, and I got past it, and then it happened a third time in one little 22-minute show. So I told lady, you got it. So I didn't even watch the whole show. I cut the show off. And so she said, well, how was the show? I said, babe, I couldn't watch it. She's like, why? I said, babe, it was all kind of sex scenes. She's like, oh, boy, you just got to, you know, just pass. I said, no. I don't need nothing in my mind. Come on, somebody. I don't need it in my eye gate. Come on, I don't need to see it. I don't need it in my ear gate. I don't need to hear all that moaning. Y'all don't need it. I don't need all that. You got it? I just need me and lady, you understand? We'll make our own video. Well, not video, but y'all understand. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't need any of that. Because what did I teach you last week? When you look, you stir up desire. Now, that's not just a bad thing. You got it? You know, because even if, you know, I love vehicles. Y'all know that. Yeah, I was looking at this pickup truck the other week. I finally stopped looking at it. Because when you look, you next thing you know, I'll be walking down there to the GMC dealer. And next thing you know, because I have the ability to get it, brother man be driving home in that big 2500 HD, right? Now, I'm not saying I'll never get it. I'm just saying not right now. Praise the Lord. But a lot of times people think, I don't see, can I just go this route? I know I got a lesson, so a lot of times people say, I don't see the harm in it. But what happens is you don't understand that the enemy begins to open, you crack a door and you allow the enemy to step in. And you move from that little TV scene, you got it, to that's not enough. You understand? And that's when you start, you know, going, trying to get by yourself so nobody's around. And you're looking at pornography and you're looking at this and not understand, especially, you know, period. But especially if you're married, now you're messing up the normal relationship that God has given you. And it's tainted because now you done seen something. And now when we go over here, you got it. I want you to do what I saw. Oh, that's a lot for y'all. That's a lot for y'all. You got it, but watch this. But if I make a covenant with my eyes, the writer said, you got it, only to look on that which belongs to me, then I'm not looking at la-di-da-di everybody and everything. I understand the covenant that God has given me, and I keep that sacred, and I keep that holy. Watch this, and I can, Lady and I have an amazing, this year be, is that right, Pat? This year be 27 years. This should be 27 years, all right? All right. I was going for 28, praise the Lord. Are you sure it ain't 28? Oh, I'm 48. I'm 48. I'm 47 or 48. I'm 48, be 27. You're 49. Okay, all right, all right. So when you do it God's way, everybody say you get God results. Yeah, and so back to all what I was saying in the beginning, even when I started and, you know, start saying marriage between one man and one, that is not to make anybody mad. That is not to try to get someone to leave the church, especially if you're dealing with that. No, God loves you the way he loves me and everybody else. And you're that's just the sin you're dealing with, like somebody else is dealing with the sin, like someone else is dealing with the sin. But in the name of Jesus, I declare you're going to get victory over that in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? And a lot of that has to do with rejection and things that happen. You got it? We've dealt with it long enough. We talked to a lot of people who have overcome it in our church. You don't know it because we don't go around telling you about it. But there are several, you know, people that live that lifestyle that overcame it because they got to the root cause of the hurt and the anger and the resentment and the rejection. And then when they finally experienced the love of Jesus and realized that Jesus died to get rid of all that and they can be free, they turn their life around. Does that make sense? Amen. Oh, man. Okay, so God's character is consistent. God's character is consistent. All right, he never changes. Everybody say he never changes. All right, so here we go. Everybody say number two. All right, so number one was God's character is consistent. Number two, God's promises don't expire. God's promises don't expire. Numbers, the 23rd verse and the 19th verse says, God is not a man that he should lie. I don't know about you, but I'm real glad about that. Neither the son of man that he should repent. The writer says, hath he said it? And shall he not do it? He's like trying to get you to understand. Do you not realize that he is always going to come through? He says, or hath he spoken? And shall he not make it good? And so you have to understand that God's word is not sometimes good, but God's word is always good. All right? And he has already made a commitment to you, and you've got to understand that God has never broken a promise. The Bible didn't say that God won't lie. It says that God cannot lie. And there's a difference because you have to understand the nature of God. See, people can change their mind, but God will never change his mind. And he'll see, you know, and that's the tough part in life and relationships and things like that. You think everything's going good, you know, and those kind of things. And then somebody changes their mind on you. And when it does, it's hurtful. Why is it hurtful? You got it. It's hurtful because there was a relationship that was established. There was trust that took place. You got it. There were feelings and emotions and those kind of things. And for all of a sudden you to change your mind about me, now there's a level of hurt. You got it. There's a level of I don't understand why, you know, that you have to go through. And unfortunately in life, sometimes that can happen. People can change their mind about you. But the great thing is no matter what happens in life, God will never change his mind about you. That's a good place to clap right there. So if God ever said it, he still means it. So if he ever, if you ever wrote, if you ever read a promise in the Word of God, and said, "Ooh, that's a promise in the Word of God. I received that by faith in Jesus' name." Watch this. That is what we call the logos. That is the written word. Those are written promises. And sometimes he gives us the rhema. You got it? That's when the Holy Spirit just talks to you and promises you something. And you've got to understand, if he's ever promised you, if he's ever said it, even if it hasn't come past yet, he still means it. See, he doesn't update his promises, he fulfills them. Does that make sense? Yeah. Isaiah 40 and 8, it says that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God shall do what, class? Stand forever, right? So when he says in Exodus 15 and 2, "I am the Lord that healeth thee," that stands forever. He is our healer, and he will always be our healer. When we see in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, where he tells Paul, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness," that stands forever. He will forever be your strength, regardless of what you're going through. When he says, "I am Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides," that stands forever. I don't care what happens in life and how tough it gets, never forget that he has already made a commitment that he is going to provide for you. And so what you have to do is get out of fear and get in faith and stand up and start declaring the word of God with boldness so you can see it come to pass in your life. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so you got, now if you're going to clap, give me a good clap. Don't patty cake in the house of the Lord. So his promises don't expire. God promised Abraham a son, and it took a while for the son to come, right? But God's promise to Abraham of a son didn't change even though time passed. In Genesis 18 and 13, it says, "Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child?" It was almost like the promise was too big for her, right? Now, he says in verse 14, okay, now let's go back for a second in the back to verse 13. Let's go back to verse 13. Who's talking, y'all? Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is open book test. This is open book test. Pastor never. I'm always going. You always going to pass my class, right? I'm gonna try it again. Who's talking? Okay. Good. The Lord. Now go back to verse 14. Okay. Who's talking? All right. And even ask the question: is there anything too hard for the Lord? He says, "I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." And sure enough, he returns, and she has a son, just like God said, because his word is always good. And there is nothing that is too hard for God, and you need to understand that, because some of you all may be facing some tough situations. Some of you all may be facing some challenging times. Maybe you just got some news, or maybe you just got some bad news, and I need you to understand, even though it took you by surprise, it never takes God by surprise. Do you not know that God is omniscient, meaning that he is all-knowing? He declared your end from the beginning. So before you got the phone call, before you got the email, before that person said that mean thing about you, God already knew it was going to happen. And the great thing is, he already put something in place to make sure you still had the victory on the other side. Oh, that's good right there. You got it? And so you've got to understand that, all right? And I got a minute left, but I'm doing good. Are y'all getting anything out of this? All right, we had to take a sidebar, but we needed to take that sidebar, right? All right, so we said, number one, God's character is consistent. Number two, we said God's promises don't expire. And my last and my final point, we said, number three, God's mercy and love remain steadfast. In other words, it never decreases. Lamentations 3 and 22, I got a lot of favorite verses, but this is another one. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Can I get a... "Because his compassions," do what, class? "Fail not. They are new," not some morning, but every morning. And the writer says, man, great is your faithfulness. So your mistakes don't cancel God's mercy. Let's go home, maestro. Your God's love for you today is not weaker than it was yesterday. And tomorrow it'll be just as strong. And that's why I tell people, and I don't mean to be mean when I say this, because if you come to this church long enough, you'll know Pastor sticks to the word. I don't get up here preaching my feelings. I don't get up here preaching my opinions. I don't get up here preaching politics. I don't get up here bashing other preachers. I don't do anything. I preach the word of God. and that's why you see the fruit, right? But what happens is, every once in a while, I will tell you, you know, when I say you, God's not mad at you, God's not upset with you, don't listen to people or even preachers who talk like that. I'm not bashing them. It's just my job as your pastor to make sure that you know that God's love for you is undeniable, regardless of what you're going through. Even if you're sitting right in the middle of a big old mess that you made, God's love does not change for you. And you have to know that. Because the writer says, it's with loving kindness have I drawn you. So how are we going to draw somebody, you got it, other, you know, apart from the love of God? And so, yes, I'm going to give you the truth, but I'm going to give you the truth in love, right? So when you see somebody, you know, out in town, and maybe they're not acting exactly the way they should act, should you be talking about them? Should you be running them down? No. Call somebody. I knew they was a demon. I could tell. No, we don't do that. Mm-mm. Because had it not been for the Lord that was on our side, there's no telling where we'd be. 1 John 1:9 was written to the believer and says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you for all of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So repentance doesn't put us at the back of the line. It just puts us back in line. And so maybe there's something today that you just need to repent about. Maybe you just need to admit it and quit it and make a decision that I'm not going to do this anymore. And the Bible says that sin, because of what Jesus has done for us, sin cannot dominate you. What does that mean? You never have to live under habitual sin. I can't break it. It's just something. I'm just always going to be. No, that's not true. The writer says in the book of Romans that sin cannot dominate you. Because he says we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. And when I'm under grace, I'm directed by the Holy Spirit. And he has all the power that I need to help me overcome anything that I'm going through if I will just submit my will to his will and my way to his way. And the key is submitting. So I'm telling you that when I saw, you know, I was watching that TV show and I saw, you know, them people in the bed, immediately the Holy Spirit said, you don't need to see that. And I agreed with him right away. I said, show don't. You got it. You know. No, Pastor, you go, I'm fine, but that's the reason I am fine, because I made a commitment that anytime the Holy Spirit speaks to me, come on, somebody, and says, hey, don't go over there, don't do that, don't look at that, don't say, am I perfect? No, I ain't perfect, but you got a pastor, I ain't doing nothing stupid and nothing foolish. You got it. Am I tired some days? Yeah. And some days when I'm tired, do I feel a little grumpy every once in a while? And those days I try to stay at home for the first part of the day, drink me an energy drink. Come on, somebody. Typically it's on Monday mornings, right? You got it? And so no, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to do everything I can to try to live for Jesus and set the example. You got it? So you can see that it's possible to live victorious, that it's possible to live free from sin, that it's possible to be blessed, that it's possible to have a wife of 27 years almost, and I still don't want nobody but her. I just want LaCante. You got it. I don't want nobody. Just want her. You got it. And I told her she can't never leave me. She can't never leave me. You got it. She tried to pack up her bags. You know, she going up in the attic and she going to grab, you know, the suitcases and pack. I'm going to go grab my suitcases. I'm going to pack too. She won't let me get in the car. That's okay. I got my own car. I'll just drive behind her. Because we're going to work this thing out. Come on, somebody. I saw this reel, you know, and it was talking about, in our relationship, you know, was saying how divorce was not an option. They said, you know, you upset with me, go take a nap. You'll be all right. You understand what I'm saying? Because we're going to work this thing out. Because she's not perfect and I'm not perfect, but he is. And if we do it his way, we're going to get his results in our lives. Did I help you today? All right, let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, I thank you for your word. I know it's not void of power, and it accomplishes everything that you set it out to do. And Father, I know I was brutally honest with your people today, but all I did was give them the truth of your word in love. And I believe that the reason you had me give them the truth of your word in love today was to expose the enemy. Not to make them feel bad, not to make them feel shame, not to make them feel any less, but simply to expose the enemy and his tricks in their life. And so I bind the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God. I curse temptation at the authority of the name of Jesus. And I declare, because they belong to Jesus, they have power over temptation and they have victory over temptation in Jesus' name. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I thank you, Father, the more we submit to you, the more we submit our will to your will and our way to your way, that our life just gets better. The first thing that happens when you really just make a decision to live for God is you just have a peace. It just starts with a peace, just this peace that surpasses all understanding. That no, this ain't worked out, that ain't worked out, that ain't worked out. But you know what? I believe God. I'm going to trust God, and he's going to make up the difference in my life. And so if you're not saved, I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you're a Christian in the room and maybe you've just made some mistakes and messed up, I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. Tell him you have nothing to do with me and I have nothing to do with you. Now say, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord and I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done in the lives of the believers. And I declare in the name of Jesus that your word says, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. And I declare that they are walking in a level of freedom that they have never walked in up until this point. And I declare greater for them. I declare increase for them. I declare miracles and testimonies are happening this week of your supernatural power at work in their lives in the name of Jesus. I declare in the name of Jesus that every satanic assignment from the enemy has been halted in their life. I thank you that they walk in a level of peace and joy and increase that they have never experienced. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for those who need to take the next steps and check the box that says that I want to join WLCC. I thank you that they find the QR codes, that they sign up for membership one, that they come, that they get connected, and as we point them to Jesus, I thank you that their life is going to get better and better and better. I thank you for it. I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building. Are you glad you came to church at 11 o'clock?